We have two readings this morning, from Matthew 8, 1 to 4, and from Luke 8, 42 to 48. Matthew 8, the man with leprosy. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the man was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." From Luke. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, all the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
So let's just pray for our brother Dave. Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. We also thank you for your kindness towards us. And we pray that you will use Dave to bring us revelation about you and to set our hearts on fire and to live lives that are pleasing to you as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back here again speaking. I always feel it's a real privilege to speak here, and I always also feel a bit more nervous somehow. You've got to have integrity when you speak in your own church, haven't you, really? And I'm going to think about kindness this morning. We're going on with our series about the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits, as you all well know, I'm sure, they kind of grow within us. They're not gifts, in a sense, like some of the spiritual gifts of love, healing and miracles and that sort of thing. God draws them out of us. There's a great moment in the film Evan Almighty when Evan's wife, Joan, meets God in the guise of Morgan Freeman. And she's been praying that the family will be drawn closer together. And God just says to her, "You know, if you pray for patience, do you think God gives you patience, or do you think he gives you situations where you can be patient?" I think that's quite a good summing up of all these fruits, really. It's a bit dangerous, actually, isn't it? "Lord, give me kindness." Okay, Dave, here's an opportunity where you're going to have to be kind. And it grows, you know. But the main thing, the beginning point, the ground zero, of course, this has to be, as I put up there, that it's God's kindness to us that invites us to be kind to others. We're not scoring points with God. You know, in that sense, God's already given us 10 out of 10 because of Jesus. There's nothing more that we can score on God's card by being kind or patient or loving. That it doesn't work like that, does it? It's a response to God's kindness to us, which is why we constantly need to be reminded that God is kind and that God is compassionate and gracious. Because otherwise, you know, we may operate out of a kind of more negative sort of base, really. I'm back on movies again, but there's one of the key scenes in the story Les Miserables, if you know the book or the films or the stage play or whatever, is that the character of Jean Valjean, his life is changed when he is shown kindness by a priest. And that then defines his life. If you look at that story closely, the way he treats other people thereafter has grown out of him being treated kindly by that priest in the name of God. And this comes back to that again, isn't it? It's God's kindness to us which draws out this desire to be kind to others. We're not trying to achieve or score any points or anything like that, really. I looked up kindness. I don't know if you can see that back there. I'll just read it to you. This is one of the dictionary definitions. The quality of being warm-hearted and considerate and humane and sympathetic. And if you want to be unkind, it says lack of sympathy, if you want to have a go at that. You know, not that I'm saying you should, but that was a joke that went horribly wrong. Another description is a tendency to be kind and forgiving. You know, it's kind of trying to break down, isn't it? What are we actually talking about in life? And mercy is mentioned, and as I've already said, forgiveness or forgivingness, which I've not heard of, but there we go. Let's do that as well if we can. But it's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. And if you're like me, there are days when it does feel like you're having to dig deep to actually do anything kind. And there are other days when you're so inspired by your faith and the sense of God at work in your life that it's a different thing, isn't it? So we have good days and bad days, really. I'm going to come back to the Bible stories we heard in a minute. But when I was thinking about what to do here, there was one particular story that came to mind that I did want to just mention. And it's from John 8. And it's where there's a woman who's been caught in adultery and she is dragged by the religious experts, in inverted commas, to Jesus. No one happens to bring, you know, think we should bring the man. If you look up the Old Testament law, it's the man and the woman should both be punished. No, they'll just go for the easy target, the second-class citizen in Jesus' day. Let's bring the woman. So they bring the woman and they demand that Jesus basically qualify that they should stone her, because that is the law. They're right, according to the Old Testament law at that point. And of course, Jesus comes out with something completely different. What he says, he basically says, you're right. Yeah, you know, you should. According to the law, you should. So whichever one of you has never broken that law, off you go. That's very clever. As this is a little moment from The Passion, which is just done very sort of visually, really, but have a look at this. It's almost a little meditation on it, really. But the actual Bible passage says that the older ones who were condemning this woman, they throw the stones in first. Older and wiser, perhaps, less hot-headed. But they realize the truth of what Jesus is saying. But I wanted to sort of bring that up simply to say, you know, the law was right. The law was this woman should be treated harshly. But Jesus has upturned that. His grace and his kindness have opened another door, another window on the lives. We probably are aware at times when we feel condemned and perhaps we've got things wrong. But Jesus opens a door, he opens a window, he lets in fresh air and daylight to say, hang on a minute, my kindness gives you another way forward. My kindness opens up life. It doesn't shut it down, really. So I wanted just to reference that story from that point of view, really. And here's another little recent, much more recent clip from the film The Queen. And in what's happened in The Queen is Diana has died in a car accident, and there was no sign of the royal family for a week. But all the people piled out. We went to London. There's miles and miles of flowers and, you know, remembrance cards and everything. And finally, the Queen emerges, and this is the moment. There's a lovely little moment here of kindness. Have a look at this.
When they're right here, and normally when they're out the front here, it's days like Trooping the Colour or V-Day or VJ Day. This is a tragic occasion.
It looks as though the Queen's she's getting out of the car, Wes, and is going to talk to people.
It's extremely unusual. This is almost unprecedented. I think perhaps the last time the Queen was among her people outside the palace was the day the war in Europe ended.
It's really, isn't it, as if the public and the royal family, the monarchy, have had a bit of a quarrel this week, and now it's being healed in some measure.
Like a family spat. Not unlike the family spats that they could acknowledge with Diana. I mean, Dent Jenny is quite right to say that whatever the professional ups and downs between the Queen and the Princess...
They sent a copy of the Queen's speech.
Careful to say, scrupulous to say...
Might want to scrape the frost off it first.
Friend to her. And I think the Queen was very generous in recognising that her oldest son wasn't always the easiest chap to be married to.
Well, I phoned them with a couple of suggestions to make it sound like it came from a human being.
Yeah, all right. Hello. Would you like me to place those for you?
No. These are for you.
For me? Thank you. Thank you very much.
I love that moment. You know, she's feeling totally judged by everybody. And they could be right, they could be wrong, who knows? But here's this little child doing what Jesus talked about, how little children are, that they can be different sometimes from adults in a really healing, helpful way sometimes. Sometimes they're full of life and you can't control them, but at other times they bring the grace of God. And here's this little girl giving her the flowers when she feels everyone is against her. Onto the two stories that we heard. I only wanted to pick up one bit from the first one where this man comes for healing to Jesus. And he comes with a question we probably all bring from time to time, don't we? God, do you really want to help me? Do you really care about me? Because it's all going wrong. And Jesus' reply, I do want to. I do want to help you. I don't know what his tone of voice was. I think he smiled, but I don't know. You know, but that thing, Jesus says, I do want to help you. I know the world feels like it's against you. I know your own efforts keep failing. And I know that sometimes God feels like he's on holiday. You know, but don't give up. You know, don't give up. Because we have this promise that Jesus is with us in these really difficult situations sometimes, that he does want to help us. You know, we have a million questions as to why he won't help us the way we think he should help us, of course. That can be a very desperate thing, can't it? But the presence of Jesus with us and the help that comes, and sometimes the help that comes often actually through other people, the help of Jesus comes through other people. When we were praying this morning, someone read a passage from Hosea, and it was saying about how God had been helping the people and then realized it was God's help, then realized he'd been with them, that he'd been bringing his kindness to them. And I don't know if you reflect on this past week. Perhaps there's been moments where it's actually been God helping you and he didn't know. You know, maybe he gave you strength. Maybe he gave you someone who turned up. Or maybe that'll happen next week, that there are times when God helps us and we don't even realize that that is going on, you know, in different ways, really. And then the story from Luke 8, which is one of my favorites, where what you've got to understand is Jesus is on the way to a rich man's house. He's on the way to a fairly powerful man, Jairus, and he's going to heal Jairus' daughter. But it's odd there. In 2 out of 3 resurrection stories, Jesus turns up late, probably deliberately because he really wants to make people realize the power of God at work. But he's on his way to heal Jairus, but there's a crowd of people and there's an oppressed woman. There's a marginalized woman in that crowd. There's a woman who's been sick for 12 years and she's got no means of help or support. And Jesus stops everybody and says, hang on a minute, Jairus can wait. We'll get there, but he can wait. There's something important going on at the moment. And we used to, when I worked at Lee Abbey, we used to reenact the Easter, around Easter time, the stories. And I don't know if you can see this, but there's a couple of shots here from one of the times we did it 1 year, which is this story. That's James there playing Jesus. We used to do it in modern dress. And this hooded character here is the woman, deliberately hunched, deliberately hiding her face, deliberately trying to escape. She's already touched Jesus and she's been healed. But now her confidence is so low. The way she sees herself is she's so rubbish in everyone's eyes because, you know, she's horrible. She smells bad because of her illness. She's got no money. She's probably been begging. Who knows what she's had to do to survive? And her confidence is rock bottom. And here we get Jesus saying, whoa. Now, at this moment, when we actually did the drama, there was a lovely thing that happened. All these youngsters here, when Jesus went, who touched me? They all went, we did, we did. It wasn't rehearsed. They were just, you know, they were there as part of the group. And I just thought, I bet Jesus had that as well. You know, it's just a great moment where all the kids want to join in, you know. And they're saying, but Jesus knows he's looking for someone specifically. And there she is. And then the photo just after he's met her. That's at Lee Abbey again. You can see the view there. But the whole point being, he wanted to give this woman dignity, her dignity back. He wanted to look her in the eyes and show her that she mattered. And that's what I think, I hope that photo catches a little bit of. He didn't want her just to think, oh, I'm a miracle worker, or I'm a great teacher, or I'm a healer. He wanted to look her in the eyes and show her that he cared and that God cares. That was one of the key moments here, when no one else was caring for her, that he cared. And so you get this moment. And she's lifting her head up at that point as well, really. So another story, those two stories, and also the woman caught in adultery, where Jesus is constantly looking for ways to show kindness, different ways. You know, sometimes taking ingenuity with the woman caught in adultery. Sometimes here it's all about this woman having to take a risk. She doesn't want to step out from the crowd. Probably all have had days like that. The last thing you want to be is up front or in front of everybody. And here Jesus is saying, no, I need you to do that because there is something waiting for you that is really precious. And that's what happens with her. I just put that little quote at the top there. Jesus offers kindness to us all. On his way to help wealthy Jairus, he stops to help this marginalized woman. Now, a few years ago, I'm sure I've mentioned a few of these things that I'm mentioning today before, so apologies. But I know that I did mention this book, Random Acts of Kindness. I may tell you about again about the mayor of Bogota, which was a story I found in a book by a comedian called Danny Wallace. And Danny Wallace doesn't know it, but he's changed my life. He's a comedian. He used to share a flat with a guy called Dave Gorman. You ever come across two comedians who do a lot of practical, strange kind of stuff? But I think Danny Wallace has got a very good heart. Because what he did was, he put an ad in a newspaper just to see what would happen. And all the ad said was, join me. That was it, join me. And there was some form of contact. Didn't say what people were going to join, what it was going to be about, what they'd have to do. And thousands of people responded. So Danny Wallace had started what he called a cult, and he didn't know what to do with it. He got thousands of followers, and he thought, we better do something. Now all these people want to join me. And this was the result. He started off this whole thing about random acts of kindness, and he said to people, you know, let's get out there. Let's do strange stuff to make people feel better, not worse, and send me in your stories. And this was the result. So I thought what we'll do today, is I'm going to read three or four out to you. And in a minute, when you've heard them, have a chat with the person next to you and say which one of these you think you might be able to do. Okay? There's some great ones. One of the ones, you don't have to do this one, but one of the ones says wait outside a hairdresser's. And when the first person comes out who's clearly had their hair done, say, oh, you look beautiful. You could do that one if you want. I offer you that one, but I'm not asking you to. Okay, here's just three or four that came in his book. Write a letter to the letters page of your local newspaper telling everyone they're great. Is that one? Here's a cheeky one. Write a cheery hello on a banknote and then spend it. Actually, can you still write on banknotes? I don't know if it's possible. There you go, there's one. Okay. How about this one? Serve your family or a loved one breakfast in bed. You may even have done that today. It's that one. And then there's this one. Give up your seat for someone on the bus. They're not that demanding, are they, some of them? Okay, have a quick chat. See about those. So there was giving up your seat, breakfast in bed, writing to the paper, and writing on a banknote. I don't know if you can still do it. Or here's one, the final one. Say bless you when a stranger sneezes. How about that one? Which one of those would you like? Right. Thank you very much. Okay. Order, order, as someone used to say. Thank you very much. Now, right. We might as well quickly find out if I can remember all the ones I offered you. So I said, give up your seat for someone on the bus. How many people would feel able to do that? Oh, very good. Well done. Yep, good, good, good. Okay. Bless you. Did you do bless you?
Yes.
Great, brilliant. Actually, we were chatting down here and this, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, but Emma does it anyway all the time, so that's brilliant. So if you sneeze, it'll be Emma saying bless you. What else did I do? Did anyone write on a banknote? Would anyone have a go at that? Well done. Well done. Very brave. Good. Okay. Write to the paper? Yes. Some of us might write to the paper. I quite like that one. I mean, I'm, you know, writing is my thing, so I could do that. But yeah. And I think the other one was breakfast in bed. Has anyone, well, anyone would happy to do that? Yeah, you do that? Okay. Has anyone done it today? You shouldn't really big up what you've done. Very good. There you go. Well done. Well done. Very good. But this... Sorry?
She almost did.
Well, it's the thought that counts, as they say. Isn't it? This book is full of lots of sort of, you know, some of them are funny, some of them are quite moving. And moments where people did, you know, try, and they also tried to think of creative, different things they could do to make the world better, not worse. And I heard recently someone, a friend of mine, had been to hear Philip Yancey, I think. Philip Yancey was talking about how he'd met a soldier who'd started off a website called Adopt a Terrorist. Adopt a Terrorist. And these were real-life, living terrorists whose names were known. And people could sign up to the website, adopt a terrorist, to pray for them, to send them messages even, I think. I'm not sure about that. But certainly, instead of, you know, going terrorist, quit, let's lock them up or whatever. Obviously, we need to do things. But to pray as well, to pray for those people. And, you know, it's been creative, isn't it? What else might we do to make the world a better place rather than a worse place, especially at the moment, really? I think I've got a tiny bit of time, so I'll just show you this, probably finish with this, really. I may have told you about the mayor of Bogota before. I'm pretty sure I did because I did the cards before. But again, I discovered the mayor of Bogota through Danny Wallace, who wrote a book about rudeness and the destructive effect of rudeness. If someone is rude to you first thing in the morning, it can well make you reduce how well you operate through the day. Basically, it can play on your mind. And so if, you know, be nice to your surgeon, is what he said. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So with the mayor of Bogota, he told this true story about how the mayor of Bogota changed Bogota, the capital of Colombia, because people had stopped caring. And so he did lots of things. One of the things he did was he dressed as Superman, and he cleaned up the streets, and he wiped off the graffiti, and he picked up litter, deliberately modelling that, very obviously, as good as the way to behave. There he is. That's, I don't know what the language is, but that's the Superman outfit. And he got loads of mime artists to impersonate when they saw people driving badly in the street to make them realise how foolish it looked. He lined the streets with mime artists. He sacked all the traffic cops. Okay, and when the traffic cops complained, he said, "You can have your job back if you train as a mime artist." How about that? As a mime artist myself, it warms my heart. But the other thing he did, which I nicked, was he gave out thousands of encouragement cards. And I just brought a few more with me today because I thought I'll nick that idea. And I've been giving them out ever since, really. They look like that. And basically, if you want an excuse to encourage somebody, pass on a bit of kindness. I'll just leave them at the front. There's just a few there today. They just say, "Well done, I really like what you did there." If you want to encourage someone or thank somebody, even a stranger, people have been telling me about what they've been doing with the cards, and quite often it's people they don't know. So, I'll leave them at the front there. But really, just a way that we can pass on God's kindness. Again, because God is kind to us. And, you know, as we receive that, often through like the worship we've had today, times of quiet, all those kinds of things, really, we receive again that, you know, the kindness of God. So I'll just leave you with that thought and I'll say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the people in our lives who have shown us your kindness. Perhaps they didn't even realize it, but Lord, I hope, I pray we can all remember and think on people who have shown us kindness in this life, in this world. And perhaps some of them brought us to know you or to know you better. And Lord, in this coming week, please would you help us, inspired by your kindness, to keep passing that on to other people, please. In Jesus' name.